The text before us today is the martyrdom of St. Stephen, found in Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 51. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at Stephen with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Yesterday, you probably saw images of the horrific cargo plane crash in Louisville, Kentucky. This morning, they believe at least 9 are confirmed dead. I just can't imagine what a horrible way that would be to die, to have such flames just consume things. And some of the people that weren't even in the plane who were just in workplaces on the ground, there's one woman who's still missing, worked at an auto parts store right nearby. And to have this horrific way of dying come upon them. The stoning of Stephen also gives us just such an awful description of how to die and how to leave this life, to be pelted with large rocks and stones until your life is finally taken. And Stephen's work as a preacher in Jerusalem, preaching the Word of God, preaching the Easter message, was to actually defeat this very thing of death that is now coming to him, caring for and loving the eternal welfare of the souls, the people that he was preaching to. The very people he hopes to bring to heaven with him are now murdering him in such a horrible way. There's kind of an awful incongruity that believers in Christ, God's saints in this world, carry with us. We have the one essential teaching that can get people out of their graves someday, the one thing needful, the thing the world needs more desperately than anything else in the world. It's the only belief that can make us right with God because of the holiness of Christ that's been given to us and because of a payment for our sins that he's made. It's the only message that the world needs to hear that will open the gates of heaven for people someday and get us out of our graves. And yet, for that very reason and for that very message, the world hates us, the unbelieving world. It lashes out at the followers of Christ. And it shows how the devil reigns in this world and in the unbelieving hearts of people. St. Paul says, "He is the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience." By God's grace, through things in your life, God has called you to be one of his holy saints and given you faith in Christ. You may not feel that way this morning because of your sins and the burdens on your heart, but through Christ and faith in him, you are one of his saints. You are his salt and light in this world. And you are also then members of an invisible institution, the only institution in the world that has the power to defeat death and the grave, holding on to this wonderful Savior we have been blessed to know. Now, one by one, just like with Stephen, the saints before you are going to die and be transported to heaven. And it will continually be placed more and more on your life to be the ones who confess this Christ and be the ones that bear this wonderful truth about how to get to heaven. You, as members of the Holy Christian Church, are the lone depository of real eternal life, and that comes through our mouths when we confess Christ and stand up for him in this wicked world. Now, we maybe have felt negative pressures on us in our culture because of our faith before. We've maybe been embarrassed at times or mocked by people because of our faith. But it is really hard for us to see something like Stephen and to imagine martyrdom, actual physical death over this. Despite the fact that our culture makes fun of our faith and so on, we still live in relatively safe times. We have the freedom to assemble like we're doing here today. And we can kind of go through things with our faith sometimes rather carefree. And ironically, however, this freedom that we enjoy may actually end up becoming a greater threat to our faith than facing physical death. Just a few weeks ago in this very sanctuary, we had a gentleman from Nigeria talking about the many people who are being martyred for their faith over in Nigeria. And do you think that those individuals who face that on a daily basis feel unenergetic or lethargic about their faith in Christ? Stephen here exhibits for us the wonderful heart of the gospel, that despite the hatred of the world that's now condemning him and killing him in such a horrible way, those who love Christ still want to hold out a loving heart of evangelism, even toward the people that want to kill them. Just think of that. Think of that. Stephen says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Beautiful gospel expression of what he wants the church to always do. Jesus prayed, of course, "Father, forgive them," as they were crucifying, for they know not what they do. So what a strange paradox we have here, that Stephen's personal longing for going to heaven through Christ is causing him, that the very thing that's causing him to be unjustly stoned by this mob still dictates to his heart a love for his murderers and wants them to join him in heaven through faith in that same Savior. Christianity is an unusual doctrine. It is an unusual level of love that this world doesn't find anywhere else. So as a member of that same group of saints, may God grant us such a deep love for the members of our dying world, and may he stir up our hearts to never let go of this wonderful Savior who has dressed us in his robe of righteousness and promised us heaven. And let us be even more intense about bringing death's answer to others so they can join us above. Even now, as we carry on our lips the confession of this amazing Savior,